Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is that singer, Andy Shay. Andy, you were singing to me before we got started.
It's the holiday season.
So don't sing.
Okay. No singing.
please, no singing. We'll defer to your football expertise, but not singing expertise. How's that?
Not the first time I've heard that, Jimmy, but I'm doing well, thank you. As the train steams on towards the holiday week, I mean, with Christmas and Christmas Eve falling in sort of the middle of the week, I think for those that work full-time jobs, you and I no longer are full-time workers. We could let's just say that out loud. We have more free time, but for, folks in that window, it's perfect because you've got like that extra long break for you and your family. And you might need to recover some if you're a college football fan after this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, Andy, in the middle of the week, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who will take the entire week off, okay?
Oh, correct.
There will be other people who are going to the workplace every day, but they're still taking the week off.
Working but not working.
Yes.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
They're showing up to the job site. Let's put it that way, Andy. Not much else.
They're in spirit only, yes. punching their time clock. But, yeah, so it is cool that it's the middle of the week. We hope everyone has a great, wonderful and, festive and fun-filled and full of family and love and joy holiday season. But the lead up to it can be brutal, as we know, Jimmy.
It can be tough, but this is our last time you and I are doing a show until Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you and your family. I hope you're all ready and I'm going to have a great time. All right, let's get to football. You mentioned, this week, college football playoff weekend, which I think is like the best weekend in college football. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Andy, some of the Penn State news of the week is some of the players meeting with the media prior to their bowl game. This is an opportunity. Well, the conversation wasn't so much about the bowl game. It was about other things. New coach Matt Campbell, some of the meetings the players had. One of the things that I thought was interesting that came out was Matt Campbell's not just been meeting with the players who are returning. He's also been hitting up some of the players who are graduating, who are moving on. And it sounds like he was really trying to get a feel for what happened in the Penn State locker room, on the field, what happened in 2025 that needs to be mended.
You can't fix it if you don't know what's broken, right? Like something that's, he needs to hear it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, the really ugly, the unvarnished truth. What's an outgoing senior or someone headed for the NFL? They have no reason to, sort of wax on, wax off what was going on their way out the door. So, it's not a surprise that Matt Campbell's looking for the whole truth because, he's got to fix it's clearly broken. Terry Smith has done some good things on the field, right? Like Terry Smith took a broken product on the field and, put enough, touch up and a little paint on it. Very well done, Terry Smith, by the way, to make it function again. Because it was completely dysfunctional on the field and everywhere else. Hence the word toxicity when they fired James Franklin. However, Matt can see that. There's film of that. Matt can talk to Terry and the coaches that are still around. However, what he can't get is, what do I got to fix that I really can't control? Now, it's not like, I don't think college football is like the NFL where the players control the locker room and coaches control the practice field. But in this you know, sort of transfer portal, NIL, where money has come into college football. I think it's matriculating closer to that. So he can't harvest a good atmosphere there if he doesn't know what he's walking into. Pretty smart by him, but he does need to fix that. That he does have to fix some of the culture inside the locker room, not of the overall big picture program, but where this program is at right now. And the field stuff is different. This is something that he's, I think, is his number one priority, and I think he's identified it as that.
And, well, a couple things to add to that, Andy. Number one, I think you're right. The speaking to the players who are moving on, they don't have any ulterior motive. They're not coming back. They're not looking to ingratiate themselves to the new coach. They can be very candid in their analysis. So I think that's good that Matt Campbell is doing that. Also, new coach, new boss at the job site, they have an advantage, Andy. You know, the current coach and coaching staff, they were part of what was going on previously. New coach, new broom sweeps clean. You know, he could come in and entirely give an entire reset to the culture in that locker room.
I think he was hired to do that, you know, as a first priority, because I still believe for all of their CEO duties now, instead of like quote unquote football coach duties that head college football coaches endure these days, I still think they have a very strong voice. They set the message, the tone, and the tenor. You know what I mean? And I think that is embraced / echoed / heard through the players, not through the coaches anymore, right? Like, coaches used to be the mouthpiece of programs. I think the players have, because it's more equal balance now in terms of the power, I think the players' voices are stronger than ever. So the head coach still needs to be the trendsetter, the tone setter, and sort of the one who establishes the messaging and what he is saying. And that is one of the things that became clear on the field, that there was a disconnect between James and the players. Even though they didn't directly say that, you could clearly see the entire coaching staff, the way they were being coached and what they were asked to do was not showing up on the field. That's a disconnect. That's when you've lost your locker room. They don't hate James. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh man, we hate coach. No, it wasn't that. It's just, we're not together. We're not pulling on the same rope. And that can be true, but it doesn't necessarily manifest itself that sort of, you know, ugly on the field. Penn State's got, and it was getting worse. It wasn't even remotely, it wasn't temporary or leveling off. It just kept getting worse.
It was. And I don't think that with James Franklin, I don't want to lay it all at his feet what happened. No, but
he's a head coach, though.
You know, sometimes it's like a marriage. There may not be a good guy and a bad guy. It may be it just has run its course. It felt that way, that James had run his course both downward and upward for him. You know, his relationship with Pat Kraft, he wouldn't be gone if he had a better relationship with Pat Kraft. So Pat Kraft had already, I think, identified things. But we also, speaking of Pat Kraft, we also got some player reaction to the infamous meeting Pat Kraft had with some of the players prior to the Rutgers game. I say infamous, a lot of things going on there. He was very candid in his words then. I think he was very embarrassed when it got out and was made public. But also it was interesting to hear King Mac talk about it and mention also that the fact that someone recorded the meeting and released it was an indication of what was going on with the team. If everyone was pulling in the same direction, that would not have happened.
that's your problem, right? Like somebody recorded it and released it from inside your own stable, right? Like this wasn't an outside entity, you know, planting something, or, you know, this was one of your dudes dropping dime on one of your on you guys. So, you know, he's not wrong. That is problematic. It was an awful look for Pat Kraft. It's okay. It's an awful look publicly, but I don't have a problem with his, like, I, you know, I think Oregon's a fraud. I hate Michigan. Good for you. I don't care. You know, you're allowed to have those opinions, but it's overall, as an ambassador and leader, it's just not a good look.
No, and there's obviously no way he says those things if he thought there was any chance of it being made public. Now, that may seem hypocritical. You should be the same way talking to the public, talking to the team. However, anyone who says that has not been in a locker room. A locker room is filled with hyperbole. It's filled with that kind of language. You know what? And you hate the other teams just because they're the other team, Andy. That's the way it works. If you're a Met fan, you hate the Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, you hate the Red Sox. If you're Ohio State, you hate Michigan. That's the way it works.
If you're a Penn State fan, you hate Ohio State. Right?
Yes, you do.
You used to hate Pitt. Now you hate Ohio State more.
Yeah. Well, and the way it works, Notre Dame didn't make the playoffs. Okay? They might have been robbed. Okay? I might think they deserve easily to have been in the playoffs. But you know what? It's Notre Dame. I have no problem with them not making the playoffs, Andy. None at all. Why? Because they're Notre Dame. That's why.
Right? See, there you go. And, oh, Jimmy, by the way, I'm recording this. Oh, no, you are. Sorry.
And you know what? I'm making it public, Andy. I will say in public what I say in private. However, I will watch my language a little bit. I'll be careful with my word choice. But I hate Notre Dame. I'm glad they didn't make it, Andy.
Yeah, you just have to be more careful of the words that you choose. And in that scenario, Pat did not do a very good job of choosing his words well.
No, he did not. But I think actually in some ways it actually endeared him to some of the Penn State fans. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, I want to ask you about this playoff coming up this weekend, right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim. He's Andy. Guess what, Andy? We are going to do one of your favorite things this quarter. You know what that is? We're going to talk about actual football.
Yes. Finally.
How about it?
A little football. Well, we've been talking about it more lately.
You know, it's not a little football, Andy. It's a lot of football. And if you're a college football fan, this is the best time of the year.
It's a big one.
It is. And I know a lot of people are worked up because the bowl games have lost their importance. Yes, they have. You know what? It's made up for by having the college football playoffs. And these games are just, it's fantastic. It's fantastic drama to it. Andy, I love it. It's my favorite weekend. It's my new favorite weekend of the college football season. And you know what? it's actually better, I think, this first weekend because we get home games. We get games on campus.
You get games on campus. There's possible mismatches. There's possible Cinderella upsets. It's everything you want in four football games, right? It's some blue blood on blue blood, some good on good, possibly. Some, you know, did you earn your slipper or were you just, you know, handed a free pass in? Now you get to, so you can be Tulane and lose this game and win, right? It's not that you lose. I think at this level, the one thing I look at in the college football playoffs, and this is one thing I took away from the expanded field last year that was different, is how you lose or how you play and what that performance looked like matters more than anything. You can lose, like you can't do what Oregon did against Ohio State in the second round. That's embarrassing, right? And that's a stain that Oregon's had to carry with them. So it's not that you lose. Losing is going to hurt, but it's how do you perform and how do you lose? You've got to, that matters more. Winning is what ultimately everyone wants to do, but how did you win or lose? I think that matters more in these playoffs because everything's being analyzed at another level.
Tulane and James Madison are huge underdogs, and they are not going to win this tournament. Okay, neither
right.
one.
They're not
going to win a national championship.
No chance.
Are you okay with them being in the tournament, though?
I do like Cinderella in the tournament. You know, the two teams is still a bit of the sin of the past to get us to 12 teams. I do know if this was done next year that both of these wouldn't make it, right? Like, under the playoff scenario that's going to be in play in 2026 with the Duke would be in, right, under the 2020, the next year scenario. And both of these teams wouldn't make it. But do I think both of them deserve to be in, you know, without bringing the Notre Dame question into it? Because I don't think Notre Dame was left out for one of these two teams. I don't think one of these two teams took a Notre Dame spot. Let's just put it that way. So do I think both of them deserve to be here? Yeah, I like it. I think they're intriguing. And they bring something to the game, like, you say, well, what's the most interesting game or what's the best game? And maybe we'll talk about that. Well, it's certainly not going to be one of their games, but I'll be honest with you. Their fan base and everything around those two teams is amped up and has been amped up since they made it. Their school stores are busier. More of their gear is selling. You're reading all that kind of stuff. Their fans are going to travel to the game. I'm interested to see how they perform. They are the games I want to watch the most. I might not watch it for long because I might be like, okay, this is men against boys or the die is cast. But they're the ones I'm most intrigued to watch.
And Andy, if quarter one starts and finishes and it's 7-7 and we reach halftime and they're within a score, one score.
Or 10 points, I'm in.
Yep. Upset alert. And, you know, the question. And you'll notice I didn't say, is it fair? Is it right? Because are they the best teams? No, they are not. They are not. But these are the rules. And just to clarify, you mentioned about next year, how it would work. They have not finalized how next season is going to work. It could be 16 teams. And I think there will still be at least one group of five team. And there some of the things, like the teams that are complaining about not making the tournament, Duke, they're complaining because they won the ACC. Then don't lose to UConn, okay?
Right.
Notre Dame, join a conference, okay? Don't complain about you didn't get a conference championship game opportunity. It was your choice not to join a conference. You had plenty of options. You could be in a conference if you wanted. So I don't want to hear the complaining. And the fact is, when they went from 4 to 12 teams, you know what? you used to complain because you finished fifth instead of fourth. Now you complain that you finished 13th instead of 12th.
Right.
All of this is under your control, okay? It's your own fault if you're not in that top 12. So I don't want to hear the complaining. Now, the positive spin on it, Andy, is there's also home games. I was at the home game last year. Penn State hosted SMU. It was so cold, middle of December. The atmosphere was incredible. It was fantastic. It seemed that way at the other places. So that's what I really love. This is college football is supposed to be played on campus. We mentioned James Madison against Oregon, Tulane, Ole Miss. How about the other two games? Alabama, Oklahoma, Miami, Texas A&M. Take your pick. Which one really intrigues you?
Well, it intrigues me because I'm wondering how the team that finished 13th got in when there's only 12 invites. And that would be Alabama. How did they clear the threshold? What did they do to deserve to be the first three-loss team?
They had a commissioner who was lobbying for them for the last 12 months. That's what they did.
Right. Everyone sort of forgot that they got monkey stomped to open their season against Florida State. I know that's a long time ago. And, you know, I know they had, you know, they beat Georgia in the regular season. That matters, right? They had, you know, close wins over like Missouri, South Carolina. I'll get off my soapbox. I don't know how you get monkey stomped to open your season and to close your regular season in a championship game, have three losses, which is clearly a divisible marker, and make it. But it's the number 13 seed Alabama, and Oklahoma is the game I want to watch. Because I don't know from watching a lot of college football, watching both teams, I'm not sure either team's really all that good. Neither team's bad, but I don't think either team's all that good. And I want to see two sort of mediocre, okay teams, good teams. I want to see what they do at the stakes are like this. And you mentioned the other one, which is Texas A&M and Miami. What? And this is not a – does it feel like nobody cares about that game? I'm just asking, Jimmy. Like, when I looked at the schedule, and if I put them – as what I would watch in order, why would I put that game forth? And I'm thinking, well, that's an Andy problem. But I'm just asking rhetorically. Like, it's the game I don't hear about. It's a game you don't read about. It's the one that's like, oh, that's right, there is a fourth game, Texas A&M and Miami. And I'm not saying I dislike or have any ill will or disrespect for either school. I don't.
There's the problem, Andy. If you did have dislike for either one, you'd probably be more interested in it.
Correct. I'm a college football fan, and I'm like, I like great theater and, you know, pageantry and football, and I know the game's broken. Let me just say that out loud. College football's broken, and I know that, and I don't care. But Texas A&M of Miami, I'm like, oh, okay. Was it week six of the regular season that they're playing? And I hope there's a better game I can find to watch.
Well, let me give you a quick little quirky scheduling trivia for you. Texas A&M is one of five Southeast Conference teams in the playoffs.
Right.
The other four are Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss. You know what those other four teams have in common? Texas A&M did not play any one of them.
Ah, there you go.
Which is a nice look in the schedule. All right, good one. Here's my question for you.
Sure.
I love this question. Of these teams playing this weekend, who do you think has a chance to play in the championship game?
Ooh. If he was still coaching his team and did not sell his soul and, you know, show, you know, the sort of butt end that he is as a human being, I would say I would have taken Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin's team. I like, there's a lot of elements there, that football team I like. If you're going to say, is there one? I think Oregon had something to prove at this level. After their performance in the college football playoff last year, I think there's still a little bit of that choke in the O. You can't spell choke without O. And O is for Oregon. So I'm kind of wondering what Oregon does, and I think they have some of the elements. Their quarterback play is going to matter more than anything because it's inconsistently relevant as to how their team goes. If they get good quarterback play, because I think they have a lot of the other elements, I think Oregon could be competitive at it. I have no idea what Ole Miss is going to look like because it's still all the same players, but they're being steered by Lane Kiffin's not there. End of story. So what's that going to look like? So I'm going to lean on Oregon, Jimmy.
Interesting. Interesting that you mentioned neither Alabama nor Oklahoma.
Nope.
And I find that fascinating. And I'm also one, I'm curious about Ole Miss, but I'm also one of those that, you know, Lane Kiffin has coached them through the season, all the games he's coached, all the practices. He's the one who brought these guys in. I'm not sure it'll make a difference come game day whether he's on the sideline or not. Will we see different play calling because he's not there?
He's a pretty genius offensive guy, Jimmy. He's really good at it. He's really good at it. One of his best attributes, one of the few of them, is Saturday.
All right, Andy, that's the last word. Stick around. Next segment, we got your questions, and we'll ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. Quarter number three of our show, which means it's time for your questions. You take control of the show. And Andy, I'm going to do something I don't typically do, but what the heck, it's a holiday. Yeah. In the spirit of giving, I'm going to give John from Kingston two questions this week. He sent two questions in. We're going to give John two questions. We're going to let John take over the show. Let's start with this.
In your book, then. John, you must have asked two good ones if Jimmy's going there, because he's not going to throw that in just for fun. Good. Well done, John.
Now that Matt Campbell has been hired and Terry Smith is staying, is there any chance Penn State can flip some of the recruits that got away? Also, what do you think James Franklin's biggest obstacles will be trying to build the winner at Virginia Tech compared to doing it at Penn State? And by the way, that's just one of his questions. So
that's one of them. So the answer to the first part is, in terms of flipping the recruits, no. I think the ship kind of sailed on them. He's going to make the effort, but I don't, maybe they get one, maybe, you know, you can always hope for one or two, but do I see it as a mass return? And no, I don't. So the answer is no. And what is James's biggest help? He's great marketing builder. He's as a football coach, you can't drive an eight cylinder. End of story. He can't drive a big machine. He can, well, as a football coach, he does not have the capacity, in my opinion, to be able to drive a fully loaded, fully stocked machine. That's how come he won't get to the next level.
Here's where I think is the obstacle. Andy, do you know how much teams from the Big Ten get from their TV contract?
I don't. I know there's three networks and it's a bundle of money. It's a boatload of money.
It's about $80 million, probably going to go up from there. Do you know what the ACC – yes, per school.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Do you know what the ACC schools make?
$27 million.
They make more than that, but it's about half what the Big Ten makes. It might get better, but you get my point.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Half.
You say that he's incapable of driving the big vehicle. He's not driving a big vehicle right now. Big vehicles are kind of restricted to the Big Ten, the Southeast Conference. He's going to find he's just not going to have the same resources that he had at Penn State. I suspect he'll complain about it. He'll lobby for it. He'll blame every loss on it.
He'll get some money for it, too. Virginia Tech will spend, but they only have a certain pool. Their resource level stops at a certain level that is half of what it was before. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. So kind of related, John's next question is, back in gyms in my day, so John's an old timer like me, Pitt was almost an equal to Penn State and a real competitor in recruiting Pennsylvania and the surrounding states. Right now, Virginia Tech is the shiny new toy. In a year or so, when the dust settles, will they still be a recruiting competitor, or will they drop back to being a second-tier competitor?
They'll drop back to being a second-tier competitor. That will, and I think James will shift. He'll try and own the DMV, you know, that Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. That's his sort of sweet spot as a recruiter. And I think he will try and move that to his sort of own stomping grounds he will do less in Pennsylvania. And players look at it and they know, like, okay, when James had it all, he didn't get it. Do I want to go there? So Pennsylvania, kids go to the shiny new toy. In 2 years, it won't be the shiny new toy. The polish will be off. And I don't think Pitt and Penn State are going to suffer while James is recruiting Pennsylvania.
I think he will raise the level of recruiting. He already did for this year, stealing away the Penn State recruits. I think this will occur for a couple of years, but it'll be diminishing returns as they go.
Correct. I agree.
All right. Let's go to Daryl in Westchester. As we move on from the John from Kingston segment of our show, Daryl from Westchester says, with many players graduating, a small recruiting class, and many players sure to leave through the portal, how long for this team, meaning Penn State, to bounce back?
Oh, yeah. So this one's tricky, but it's a really, really good question, Daryl. My gut instincts is telling me that from all the paint on the canvas that I can see right now, it's telling me that this could be a sanctions era roster in 2026. I think it could be a bit of a Shelly skeleton. Yes, he's going to bring some some Iowa State, stuff with him, some players and some, possibly some recruits and all that kind of stuff. But we know what that is. That's, mostly three and the occasional four-star player. And he's really good at talent development, right? Matt Campbell has a proven guaranteed track record as a talent developer. What's that look like with elite talent when he gets it? I think it's going to take into 2027 at least till he gets it. I think he understands that, but I think 2027 is when you can start looking at the next level, futuristic way, in a long-term way. I feel it's scrambled eggs right now.
Andy, I'm not as down on their recovery period as you are, but I might get there in the next week or two when we start to get the transfer portal announcements from Penn State.
Yeah.
I know the portal is going to be a big thing for incoming, okay, to bring talent in. And I know Penn State's going to be willing to open up the checkbook, Andy.
I agree.
And it's kind of like, we talk about it like professional sports now. They've got a lot of contracts coming off the books.
Free agent contracts to be signed.
So they're going to have money to sign those free agents.
Yes, they are.
But the, and you and I could probably name them very quickly. There's, you know, maybe 10, 12 important players on this team that Matt Campbell needs to do everything he can to retain as many of those guys as possible.
And if he keeps 75% of them, he's done fantastic.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, Jimmy. Penn State, in the last 3 years, its roster, I would say, with starting players, was safely 30 deep, right? Like, they had 30 starters, maybe even upwards of 32 to 33. Let's just go with 30 as a nice round number. I that's what you need at the next level. It's hard for me to see them getting anywhere near that. You know, it's not necessarily will they have enough to put a competitive team, but when it goes sideways and guys get hurt and things change, I don't think they have the back end to cover themselves.
Before this season started, Andy, we looked at the offensive line and said, ooh, they've got 8 starters.
They do, okay. Correct.
Now what you got to do is hope they can have 5 and keep offensive your fingers linemen. Crossed that they stay healthy. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of thing they're working with.
That will be the difference. All right. Let's get to Carl in Binghamton, who says, what's with all the 3-star former Iowa State commits? Is this really the way to rebuild the program?
For first starts, Carl, yeah, you need the dudes. That's the bottom line. They've got to use all 100, what is it, 105, right, Jimmy? Is that the exact 100? What's the scholarship number?
You're allowed up to 105. 105. Not many schools have that many. Right. In fact, that's part of the question. Do you invest more money in fewer guys?
Right.
Or do you carry 105 guys on your roster?
They need to get as close to 95 or 100 as they can because they need the dudes. They need dudes to develop and work on and find positions. They need depth. They need to fill out a 2-deep into a 3-deep. It is not long term. It's not the way to go. But for 2026, where they're at right now, and we still have the transfer portal ahead of us. Jimmy's already mentioned that. He's right. But for right now, for 2026, this is the best way for Matt Campbell to go. It's the only way for Matt Campbell to go because they need the dudes. This roster is going to shrink dramatically. It has already started, and it's going to get smaller. So you need to restock the shelves.
They need bodies, Andy. Yep. That's obvious. Yep. The other thing to this is Matt Campbell built that entire Iowa State program on 3-star players. Okay, and developing them. Now, he, however many recruits he had, 20-some commitments there, he gets to cherry-pick among those 3-star recruits. He's not taking all of them. It's not an open door. He's able to pick and choose among those 3 stars. We're also going to see, when the transfer portal opens, how many of the current Iowa State players are going to say, you know what? I want to follow Matt Campbell. And it'll be more money, but he can cherry pick the ones that he wants among those 3-star players. It's not an open door. Hey, you were on the Iowa State roster. Come on over. No, he'll cherry pick. All right, we got a minute left. Let's sneak in Paul from Arlington, who says, Jim likes to talk about the easy 2026 schedule, Andy. What's your early prediction for the 2026 record?
At the very top end, I'm assuming you're asking Paul from Arlington.
Top end. He just said predict, Andy.
6-6.
Wow. Wow.
What?
Me with the blue and white glasses on, I'm going 8-4 or 9-3. I think that schedule is built for them to succeed. Yes, we still have a lot of variables left. Andy, retention, who's going to come in from the transfer portal? Critical questions. probably in a month you could ask us that question again, and we may answer very differently. All right, that's it for quarter three. Stick around, one more segment to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, let's get back. You're holding the four fingers up. Quarter four, let's finish strong.
Let's go.
Let's get back to some Penn State football, Andy. And, you know, Matt Campbell, this has got to be just craziness for the guy. They're scouting transfer portal. They're scouting their own new team. They're scouting their old team, trying to figure out who to bring back. They're seeing, you know, we got the question
trying to
about,
fill out a coaching staff.
Yeah, fill out the coaching staff, you know, probably a more immediate issue. He seems to have been doing pretty well, bringing many of the Iowa State coaches in. Yep. Interesting, his defensive coordinator, the name's bandied about, but they're talking, I don't know if you saw this, that they're looking at Danton Lynn, former Penn Stater, who's out at USC. So some interesting names there, Andy, and I think some good coaches being brought in. Yep. But also, there's how many of the Penn State staffers do you keep around? Now, some of these guys, we know some guys left with James Franklin immediately. Ty Howe, hey, he got a promotion, tight end coach to offensive coordinator. God
Take
bless
the job.
Him for that. Yeah. There's earned. No way he was going to keep the coordinators that were here.
Yeah, not a chance. Zero chance.
But it does look like he's looking to retain a lot of the next level of coaches, many of them who are fairly new to the coaching staff, but have their Penn State ties. We've already heard Trace McSorley staying. It looks like they're doing what they can to keep Dan Connors, Deion Barnes, Alan Zamaitis, who's very important in the recruiting staff. It sounds like he's going to stick around. How important is it, Andy, to keep these guys with the Penn State ties around?
Well, it matters, and it's relevant is the way I'm going to sort of jump on both sides of it. It's relevant and it matters for a very specific and valid reason, right? It is something that appeals to the Penn State program, right? That means their fan base, their alumni, their lettermen. That is a relevant thing to them. That's important to them, right? Like, you're one of them and it's important to you. To do it for that reason and that reason only would be a massive mistake, though. I mean, if Trace isn't any good at his job, I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's not, because as a player, you were like, oh my God, that kid's a coach. I can't wait to watch this kid's coaching career. But just to use that example, if you keep Trace just because he's the name and he's the Penn State guy, then you've made a mistake, right? Like, he's got to have the chops that you're looking for other than just being a Penn State guy. I think Deion Barnes clearly showed that dude can flat out coach defensive linemen. And I think he's very good at his job. I'm not sure about Dan Connor. I thought the linebacker play was below average at best to poor at times overall. And I know there were injuries to players, but it just looked unstable and unsound. And maybe they're you know, that's a position evaluated like that. So I think you keep them for the right reasons, to keep them just because they're Penn Staters, and you know that appeals to many, many elements of your fan base. Huge, huge mistake. Don't do that. And I don't think he will, but I think they have to be, they have to have earned their spot. And the one that I really feel, I think Demitis is fantastic at his job as well. And I think the one, and he's one of my, gosh, he's one of my top 10 all-time favorite football players that I just love. Him and Pavlovsky were two of my favorites. Dan Connor. I think he's got the most ground to cover as a coach, and that'll be up to Matt to decide.
And you know what, Andy, you're right about, you don't want these guys just because they are Penn Staters.
Correct.
Okay. I think these guys, as you mentioned, like Trace McSorley, you get the feeling this was a guy who could always...
Born to coach.
Right.
Born to coach.
But I think what the advantage of these guys, it's kind of like Terry Smith, who bleeds blue and white. I got to think, you know, Terry Smith could get another job somewhere if he wanted to.
Yes.
But there's that loyalty factor, which what's the value of that, Andy? Well, it means the guy's not going to jump at the first offer somewhere else.
That's like the head coach at Penn State right now.
Right. You expect him to stick around for a while.
He is not going anywhere.
Right. You mean he's not taking the Michigan job, Andy?
I don't think Michigan could have lured him away from Iowa State. Let's just put it that way. I don't.
I agree with you. So what you have here is you started with Trace McSorley. I think the interesting thing was, remember, James Franklin was the only one who believed in him as a quarterback. Every other school wanted him as a safety. He was committed initially to Vanderbilt. He followed James Franklin to Penn State. He's from Virginia, but he's choosing to stay at Penn State instead of going back to his home state and James Franklin at Virginia Tech. That's a good sign. Now, what we have going forward is not just, you know, the coaches who have decisions like that. We're going to have, we mentioned it, you know, player retention.
Yeah, and huge.
It starts, though, at the quarterback position, Andy. And if there's one position that is absolutely bonkers in the transfer portal, it's quarterback. You only play one at a time. If you're not a starter, you want to move on. And Ethan Grunkmeyer met with the media and, of course, was asked that question. And his answer is what you would expect. You know what? I'm just worried about this game. Any decision I'll make will be after this bowl game.
Yep.
It sounds like if they were to bring someone else in to be the starter, Ethan Grunkmeyer will be moving on out.
That's what it feels like to me. Will he bring Iowa State's quarterback and with him? Will he, you know, will Ethan stay? Will it be a competitive job? You know, there's like nine questions you can answer about the quarterback position. I think it just feels like to me with where the quarterback position is at Penn State right now, it's not going to take a long walk home to sort of see the same level of quarterback play. In other words, I think Matt has time to figure out how to get the next level of a quarterback to quarterback Penn State's football team. But right now, I think there's much bigger concerns on this roster looking forward in the short term that I know this is going to shock you, Jimmy, but I really don't care about the quarterback. I kind of don't, because I just feel that they'll be able to, I think he's a good quarterback guy, and I just think they'll figure it out. I think there's more deeper, longer ropes that he's got to sort of pull on harder and fix. I don't feel quarterback's one of those. It's not that I inherently don't care about the quarterback position. It's the most important position on the field. but I see bigger wants and needs that need addressed at the next level before I put the quarterback position up there. And we see that differently, I'm sure.
Well, you and I talked about it yesterday, and I vehemently disagreed with you.
You do.
I'm tempering my disagreement with you, though, Andy.
Oh, interesting. Well, you were I got a little salty Jimmy yesterday.
Well, you know, I've matured since then, Andy. It's been 24 hours, okay? And I haven't lessened my thought of how important the position is, but I think I better understand when thinking about it. I'm rooting for the current guy, Grunkmeyer, because right. He's at Penn State.
Like Grunkmeyer.
Do you know what, though? Rocco Beck might be – could be Matt Campbell's guy. He's been with him for 3 years or so, 3 or 4 years, whatever it was. He could be Matt Campbell's guy. But if you trust the coach, and I think this is what you're saying, whether it's Rocco, Beck, Ethan Grunkmeyer, or he says, you know what, there's another guy out in the portal that I'm crazy about, that I want. You know what? I feel confident that he'll make a good decision.
I'm not worried about the quarterback position on this roster. There are bigger concerns.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things going on, so that will be interesting. Andy, meanwhile, this is a team in preparation for a bowl game against Clemson.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's an interesting opponent. Clemson's dealing with guys sitting out. We got a handful of – candidly, I'm surprised we haven't heard more names from Penn State sitting out.
I kind of told you last week, Jimmy, I have a funny feeling there's going to be more guys playing. Not full game, but there might be more guys showing up than we might have thought.
I'm going to be fascinated by that, considering everything that went on, which I think is a good sign, these players choosing to play. And the other part that's interesting is, we know there'll be two new coordinators. The defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, is already gone. We're going to see Anthony Poindexter.
My favorite coach.
As acting coordinator. Andy, I would love to see him. Somehow they find a way to keep him also.
Oh, man, I think that's the longest walk home for Matt Campbell and his staff is, can Terry help and aid Matt to keep Mr. Poindexter as a position coach? It might be his time for a bigger job, and I don't think it's at Penn State under Matt, but man, if they can hold on to him for at least one more season, that's a bit of a golden ticket for me, because he's so good at what he does. He's so good at it, and it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be the toughest. It's going to be the toughest loss, and it's going to be the biggest gain if they keep him.
I agree. All right, Andy, that's going to be a wrap here. It's Christmas week coming up. Andy, have a great week, you and your family.
You as well, Jimmy, and everyone out there. Love, hope, and joy. Go find some.
Appreciate it. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.